I want to take just a few brief moments here today because this is a special celebration to exalt Jesus. Everybody say with me, the light of the world. The light has come. You know, we're going to look at God's choice, too, of the father figure that God handpicked to raise Jesus, and it's Joseph. And Joseph passed down the carpentry trade to Jesus. We understand that before Jesus turned 30 years old, he began his ministry. Before that, he was worked as a carpenter. So he was known as, get this, in the Greek language, is the carpenter of Nazareth, not a. He was renowned. And we know that, though, however, that in that trade, the real special thing is that the very seed, the very DNA that impregnated Mary was from God and not from man at all. And Gabriel told Mary that the Holy Spirit would come upon her as a virgin, and that she would give birth to the Son of God and name him Jesus, and he would save the people from their sins. And this is the most amazing truth we celebrate this time of year. So one of a kind conception and birth, that God became a human being, that the Creator became creation, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. That's a mystery in itself. To this day, it is the most remarkable reality on the planet. And through this means, God Himself has come as a sinless Son of God to atone for the sins of sinful man, thusly to redeem His creation back to Himself. And all people who put their faith in Him will be restored to the relationship with God that was lost in the garden when Adam sinned and became spiritually dead. It's this great, mysterious incarnation of God becoming man that God chooses Joseph to be the stepfather, so to speak. I want us to consider Joseph's character just for a moment. And as we do, let's go ahead and just lift our heads one more time. And I want to ask the Holy Spirit to impress upon our hearts, because this is about the light coming. I want to ask the Lord to, would you do just go ahead and open up your heart? The Bible teaches that it says, let the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling on your life. And the word for enlightened is the word, Greek word, photos. It means, it's where we get the word photograph. And one little moment in the light of God releasing light to, just like in a snap of a lens where light comes in and makes an impression on the film or in the tech with the cameras we have now. The same way God says, I want to, in one moment, flash your identity into the depths of your being and form the image I've called you to be. And so as we do that, say, Father God, I open my heart to you. Let your light come. Let your light come. So I pray for every heart here, no matter where they've been, no matter what journey they're on, or where they've gone, walking tight, walking loose, doesn't matter. Lord Jesus, we say, let every heart receive light in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now here's where we're going to start. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 25. I'm going to read it to you. It says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Spirit. And she is from the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. It might be helpful to know that to betroth someone means to be legally pledged to them in marriage. It's a legal contract. Even though the wedding day has not occurred, the consummation of marriage has not occurred, the legality has occurred, and it's a pledge. And to get out of that pledge is a legal undoing of it. So there's it's a legal matter, so you have to go through a legal divorce, even though there's not been the sexual encounter to bring forth life. So Joseph was a just man. A man who observed, this is the word just, a man who deserved divine laws. The term just is a biblical term used for a person whose way of thinking, feeling, and acting are wholly conformed to the will of God, who is therefore approved of by God and by God considered to be innocent, faultless, or guiltless. This is the definition of what it means to be a just person. Wow. This is a person who lives for the glory of God, not the glory of self. We live in an idol full of all kinds of counterfeit gods, idols in the heart. Anything that you put in the place that only God can fulfill is an idol. And Joseph apparently didn't have an idol. He lived for the glory of God. Have you ever had friends that just, you live for the glory of God, and when somebody gets off track, you feel so sad? Because the glory of God is more important than the relationships. The relationships are deep and fulfilling and meaningful when they're in the glory of God, when they're founded in the light, when people walk in the character of Jesus, when they're craving and knowing and longing for Him, when His Word is preeminent in their life. This is where the light of Jesus Christ comes, and you live with each other, and then you come along a time and somebody chooses another god, another idol, something else, and they want to go and do what they want to do, and they fall away from walking in the glory and the intimacy, and your heart aches, and you see them walk away and you go, I can't go join that. I'm living for the glory. I'm living for another thing, not a false god, not a false idol. I'm acting and thinking and feeling and acting in a way that's wholly conformed to the will of God. This is my desire. Is this your desire today? Is there an area of your life that needs light? Are you off track somewhere? The Bible is full of light. Joseph walked in moral light. He lived according to the revealed Word of God. Look at this next slide. It says Psalm 119, 105, thy word. Read it with me. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Say that again. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So how does that work out? Well, we have another couple of verses. How can a young man keep his way pure? Why? You know, this is Joseph. Joseph was married and he did not sleep or have sex with his wife. He obeyed an angel. He obeyed the Lord. And said, no, he's living for the glory of God, right? And his wife's pregnant. So it only makes sense. I don't want to put her to shame. I'll just kind of like divorce her quietly. He's living for the glory of God. And then God says, this is not done by a man. This is done by God. The one of a kind moment in all of the history of mankind. And so she becomes impregnated by God. And Joseph, what I love about Joseph is when he received, look, everybody needs a little light on the subject. Don't you think Joseph needed a little light on the subject? And this wasn't a fuzzy dream. Anybody have a dream and it's like a big puzzle? You got to figure out how the puzzle goes. Okay, what's that stand for? What's that stand for? He spoke very clearly. The what's going on here is God. This is not a puzzle, not an enigmatic speech, not kind of confusion. He gets right up in it and says, here, and he's in a dream, and he speaks so clearly, and suddenly he knows that he knows that he knows. And what I love about Joseph is he gets up and immediately obeys. He obeys. The moment he received light, he walked in it. What light has God given you to walk in? What light has God given you to walk in? Do you walk in the light God has shown you? This is not a candlelighting service, but we are lighting the Christ candle. I remember being very lonely, being afraid, having identity. I didn't know who it was really. Had a just large degree of brokenness in my life. And the Lord made it real clear to me that when He made Himself known to me, the light that came in me was the most profound love. It went through me like waves. And it did something so deep in me. The light came in. Nobody talked me into receiving Jesus. It wasn't an argument. Nobody said, well, it wasn't me trying to do enough things to get brownie points for God. It wasn't any kind of thing like that. God basically said, you want me or not? And I thought about the knot for just about that long. And the power of the love has secured me and anchored me all these years. And even though I've had my wobbles and stumbles and falls and wayward moments, nobody can talk me out of. Because the light pierced my inner being and He opened to me the understanding of who He is. And He's loving and He's holy. The world wants a loving God without a holy God, but it doesn't work that way. Because the same God that loves you is also giving you the power to walk with Him. Because the same God who loves you is the God who will stand there and judge you. I was reading recently and I just realized, you know what, I'm too old to take a detour. I don't have a lot of time to mess around. I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me. And so that day of standing before Him is a lot more important. It's more important today than it ever was. And you want that heart to be in everybody around you, because the joy, the hope, even when you're going through hell, even when everything is coming against you, you just keep showing up in front of the one who loves you. And I'm going to tell you, He gives you the capacity to repent. It doesn't come from you or me. It comes from Him. When the lights come on, and that's what salvation is. Salvation is the light comes on. You were in the dark, and now you're in the light. Let's look at light just for a minute. What's the next slide here? Genesis, yeah. Genesis said, look at this. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And it was going about 186,282 miles a second. Boom. It's 670,616,629 miles an hour. If you could travel at the speed of light, you could go around the earth 7.5 times in 1 second. It takes 8 minutes and 12 seconds for the light to travel from the sun to the earth. Alpha Centauri, the nearest solar system planet, whatever, about 4.3 years, light years. That's just millions, trillions of miles away. Physical light. It's said that there's nothing faster than light. Nothing travels as fast as light. But then there's spiritual light. Again, Jesus spoke to them in John 8:12. It said, I am the light of the world. Read this with me. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. It says the same kind of similar thing. It says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus is saying, I am the light. Look at this, John 3, Laurie preached on this first part of this. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, but whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Then it goes to John 3:19. It says, this is the judgment. Jesus is talking about light. He says, this is the judgment. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Paul says something very similar to that. He says in 2 Corinthians 4:4-6, and they're talking about people in darkness. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we proclaim, what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Big words. Big deal. So my next question is this. Are you an enemy of the light? Or are you an ally? We're all born in darkness. At that very opening scripture, when it says, God said, "Let there be light," it says this. And then he separated. He said he saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. There's a little law in scripture for scriptural interpretation. It's called the law of first mention. Do you know in Genesis 1 verse 4, it says God separates the light from the darkness. Do you know what he's doing in the last books of the Bible? The last book of the Bible, last chapters of the Bible? He's separating those who love the light from those who love darkness. He's separating those who love the light from those who love darkness. Jesus actually came up with another name for it. He calls it outer darkness. It's not darkness close to him. It's darkness far from him. Outer darkness. It's outside of his presence and dark. It's another term, lake of fire. That hell and Hades and death and hell will be thrown into the lake of fire. That ain't so good. But you have to ask yourself, am I an enemy of the light? Do I want the light in my life? Colossians 1:13-14 says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness. How many of you know that your soul can really crave things of darkness? And you can break that craving by coming to the Lord over and over and over and over, and he'll set you free of things. And there's just things. How many of you have found that there's certain things like you like to, you just really, it's like a pull on you. You just want to go back to them. And they're things of darkness. Am I the only one? You guys are so holy, it just blows me away. I just come up to the altar by myself. And it's that constant coming to him because, see, how many of you have had a, I was blown away that time when Heather said, "Hey, come here, look in this mirror. There's a magnifying mirror. It's got lights around it. A magnifying mirror with lights around it. Do you hear what I'm saying? A magnifying mirror with lights around it. Do you know what you see? Oh, my God. God, you see pimples that you have never seen. You see blemishes you have never seen. You see ugly, gross things on your face. Gah! It's horrid. Who would want one of those?" And Jesus sees you just like you are, with all of your blemishes and faults, because he is light. And there's no one who loves you more. No one loves you more. When I first saw that, I thought, I want to say stuff like, "This is gross. Oh my God, do you have anything to scrub this with?" How many of you? Point. That's the point. You see, so you can scrub. You can see, so you can do something about it. I want to tell you this. People who put the Bible away don't want to see. I'm not going to open that. The light's going to cause me to see. I don't want to see. I like being in my darkness and feeling like I'm okay. But he's coming for a bride without spot or without wrinkle. He's coming for some. How many of you struggle in your salvation? He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do you know why that is? Because he continually shows us, you said you wanted to be like me. Yeah, but I didn't know how much. This is rough. Fear and trembling. You know what the fear and trembling is about? I got to repent again and a little deeper than last time. And the very next verse says, for it is God who works in you the will and to do of his good pleasure. And the next verse says, Philippians, do all things without grumbling and complaining. I love the Bible sometimes. Okay, all the time, because it really scrubs your face. It causes you to see the light. The light causes you to see yourself in the light of who he is. And Ephesians 5:8 declares to us, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. So here's the question. How much? This is really important, guys. Let's say it together. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can sit down with somebody struggling with something, bring it into the light, and it loses its grip. It loses its power. You were bound up one minute. You open it up, let light in, you share it. One of the key things about, you share this god-awful thing with somebody, and they go, you too? You feel like you're not alone in the struggle. You know, you live in the light. When we acknowledge our sins in the light of who Jesus is and what his word says, we're cleansed by the blood and power to walk in the light. This is key. I love this verse. You know why I like this verse so much? It's a candle lighting service verse. I can always put it up and count on it. Some verses say it's the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. But this one says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So here's the spirit of man is the candle, but the Holy Spirit. See, your spirit is like the place. Your spirit can be in darkness. If you ever talk to somebody, are you a Christian? Well, I'm trying to be. Well, no, it's a moment. It's just a moment. The lights went on. You know when you are. You may still have warts and all, but you know you are. It's the moment. Salvation in Christ is not something you work at. It's something that happens when you place your faith in him and the lights come on. And when lights come on, you know you belong to him. You know your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know you're going to be where he is. And this love begins to grow. And it says, the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. And then so the candle, when it's lit, the Holy Spirit comes. That's why people call like the Holy Spirit the fire of God. When the Holy Spirit comes, is when you walk in the light, you are given. There's a whole lot more scriptures on this. When you walk in the light, you're given. You receive a whole lot more light. When you walk in what you're given, and he says it this way, if you don't walk, if you don't use what you get, even what you have is taken away. And there are people that are stumbling in darkness, speaking Christianese, and lost as a duck in high weeds. Let's go ahead and stand together. No, excuse me. Because I have a special little song with Amanda here.
The world waits for a miracle. The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel. A child prays for peace on earth, but she's calling out from a sea of hurt. the angels singing. Glory to the light of the world. Glory, the light of the world is here. The drought breaks with the tears of a mother. A baby's cry is the sound of love. Come down, Emmanuel. He is the song for the suffering. He is Messiah, the Prince of Peace has come. He has come, Emmanuel.
World waits for